Thank you. It's really good to be back. It's been a few years since I've been here. I know Nancy was here, I think, about 14, 15 months ago with Evelyn Chitente, who's the village director for the work we started in Kitwe. She took over from us. But, yeah, Nancy looked at the weather app and said, no, you go.
Is it still blizzarding out there?
I have a feeling I won't be home for a while. But it is nice to see the snow. You do miss the snow when you know, you miss the seasons over there. We don't have the same seasons that we have here. Very four distinct seasons there. There's three seasons, but they all kind of blend into one. You know, and it's not as exciting as watching fall arrive or spring arrive here. So it is nice to see the snow. I must admit that. As you know, you've been following us for many, many years. You know, we went to Zambia as volunteers for 1 year in 1999. And it's been a long year. And you've been with us on that journey pretty well from the beginning. And so you're very familiar with the work of Village of Hope. But I just want to give you a little bit of an update on the new things that have been happening at Village of Hope. We can go to the first slide. What I really like about the new things that are happening is we learned early on that the longer you're engaged in a person's life, the more effective you can be. And when we launch a new location, a new center, you know, we start right away with preschool kids. And we've done that in Bulale, in Tanzania, in the last few years. In just the last 6 months, we started a new center, a very small center in a place called Naisaka, which is just outside of Mwanza in Tanzania. And, you know, the focus there is early childhood development. So you're bringing in these little ones. And I had the privilege last year of spending time with our preschool kids at all the centers. And, you know, because it's easy when you build a ministry and an organization over the years to get disconnected with the purpose and with the people you're reaching. So in the last, you know, 3 years, I've been very deliberate as I travel around to the various centers to make sure that I'm connecting with the kids. And this past year, I focused on the preschool kids and been taking to them the message of love and bringing to them that ancient Jewish prayer known as Shema, which is to hear, where God called to his people, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is your God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength." And in Leviticus chapter 19, where God calls us to love our neighbor as ourselves, and Jesus putting that together. So I had the privilege of taking that message to the preschool kids and talking about what love means in that context and what it means to hear. So when God calls his people to hear him, he's calling, it's an action word. It's not just something that we do with our ears. So I've taught the kids, you know, that when we hear with our ears and then we think with our brains and we do with our hands and feet and we love with our heart, and taught them that action. And you could just see them just so excited about that fresh new topic that's being brought to them called love. And it's just been an absolute privilege. We've also moved into Luongo, which is about 45 minutes outside of Kitwe, where we began work in 1999. Very poor community. High percentage of children not able to attend school because there is no school there. So we've started a small school there in Luongo, in Maramvia, in Bulale. I love that picture of the kids with the backpacks walking away. You know, we've had this land in Burundi for many, many years. And, you know, it's land transactions and many of the places we work are extremely difficult. Some of the most corrupt ministries within government are the Ministry of Land, because politicians are always trying to snatch as much as they can. And land is something that they like to hold on to because there's great value there. So we got through all the paperwork and everything and got this piece of land in an extremely poor community. I remember the first time I drove through Maramvia, I knew right away that this was the place we needed to be, because at every well point, so they had these hand pump wells, at every well point there were about 20 to 25 children lined up waiting to collect water there and carry that water to their homes. So instead of being in school, they spent their day at these well points to bring water home. When I saw that, I knew we were in the right place. We finally get this land, and then civil unrest breaks out. And Village of Hope Burundi, we've been working in Burundi for many years, and our center in the community of Bwiza is the first Village of Hope to have ended up with a bullet hole in its sign. They were literally fighting and shooting right outside the gate of our center in Bwiza. In fact, the staff would tell me that at the end of the day, there would be dead bodies on the road that the staff and the kids would have to walk over to get home. Finally, peace came, and we were able to finally do something in the community in Maramvia. So the last couple of years, we've started some preschool classes and kindergarten. I think we're up to about grade 2 now. And it's just the thrill to see that, these kids coming in. You know, they don't look like that when they come the first day. They're hungry. Their clothes are in tatters. They're disconnected. You know, you could see that sort of emptiness in their eyes. And it's not long, you know, after they're fed and loved and cared for, and they know that within the fence here, this is a safe place for them, that we protect them there. You know, it's not long till life comes into those eyes, you know, and you start seeing them like this. And our strategy these days for expanding our work is to do our expansion on the experience of our mature villages. So places like Kitwe, who's been operating since 1999 when we started it, are able to go to Luongo and launch the work in Luongo with their staff and with their experience. Same within Burundi and in Tanzania. We're working with our mature villages and we're launching out. And we're seeing that become very, very effective. You know, the work that we're involved in is very much like family life. And, you know, as you get older and the years go by, you kind of look at your own family situation and your own children, and the signs are there. You know, I was telling someone this morning that, you know, our son now is a professor in the UK, in the University of Birmingham. He teaches international development. You know, when you say those words, my son is a professor, you know you're not a spring chicken anymore. You know you're not the guy in the picture that you guys have hanging on the wall. And it's the same for us as a ministry. You know, Village Hope Kitwe has been graduating children every year for a number of years. There's a number of Village of Hope kids that Nancy and I worked with in the early days who are now married and have children of their own, right? You know, so when you see your own families grow up and get married and have children of their own, you know you're moving along in the years in life. So, you know, we're seeing that, and Zimbabwe's been graduating kids. And last year, our Village of Hope in Chongwe in Zambia had their first graduating class. And next year, our village in Mongu will be graduating its first class. And, you know, that just shows, you know, how God took this little thing that was started. You know, we started in 1999 with 43 kids in a two-classroom, sort of classroom. They were old horse stables that we converted into classrooms, and we had a couple of part-time teachers, and we had $1,200. That's how it began. And now you're starting to see all these centers, you know, that began with preschool, and now kids are graduating, you know, and it's really exciting to see. And I had the chance to talk to the graduating class in Chongwe just before I came back to Canada before Christmas. And I really wanted to get a sense from them. Now, these are kids that most of them live in the community and come to the center. A handful of them have lived in the children's homes because we do both. We have children that live at the centers, but we also have the majority of our children live in the community with their relatives and grandmothers and aunts and uncles, and they come to the center for health care, education, nutrition, and discipleship. So it's a mix there. And I really wanted to get a sense from them, like, what, you know, how they found life at Village of Hope. You know, they're now leaving, and, you know, and unanimously they all said, you know, one thing we really appreciated was the fact that we knew that this place was a place of love and care for children. They said, we really knew that this was about us. It wasn't about the staff, and it wasn't about the church, and it wasn't even about Auntie Nancy and Uncle Serge. They said, you know, we knew that this place, we really felt loved here. And I asked them about, you know, what's the one thing you're really going to miss? Now that you're graduating and you're going to be going on to the next, and I was shocked at the answer. They said, the feeding program. And I said, really? They said, yeah. I said, you know, I always thought that was one of our programs that, you know, I always felt that, you know, if we had more funds and resources, we could do better. You know, we give them this porridge called HEPS, High Energy Protein Supplement. It's a formula that was put out by the World Health Organization, and it meets the nutritional requirements of a child, the daily. But it's just a porridge, you know, like. Oh, we love it. We're going to really miss that. And I was so pleased with that because, you know, we forget, like, you know, we kind of look at our education program as sort of our flagship program of our villages, you know. But, you know, the feeding program should not be underrated. It's very important to these kids. So much so that I said to them, fine, I said, what we'll do is we'll extend to you the feeding program for another year. So wherever you are, whatever you're going to do next year, you know, feel free to show up here and have porridge. Well, they all broke out in cheers. You know? I thought, really? I said, you guys, you're serious? Yeah, okay, so that's fine. So we'll do that. And I think we sent them home with a little, on their final day of school, we sent them home with a little bag of the porridge powder so as a souvenir of their time at Village of Hope. And then I asked them, you know, what could we do to help you, you know, as you transition out? And, you know, it's obvious, you know, they would love to go to college and university and all these things. But I said, set that aside. They said, well, we'd really like, if it's possible, to have some sort of discipleship program continue in our lives through Village of Hope. You know, so we're going to do that for them next year. We'll do like a weekly Bible study for the graduates to come back. You know. So obviously our discipleship programs has had a real impact on their lives. And something that they're receiving that they feel is lacking in other parts of their lives. So we are facing, you know, 20 years. Things are different today than they were when we started. And we are facing some changing waves in the area of caring for orphans and vulnerable children. if you go on to any sort of these TED Talks or material from UNICEF, you'll see a real push these days against orphanages. And to be honest, 90% of their arguments are valid. There are a tremendous amount of orphans today, well, children living in orphanages around the world today who have living parents. And they're in these institutions for economic reasons. So there's a real push against that. And, you know, I've been following it and studying it and understanding it. Because, you know, we always have to make sure that we're doing things to the best of our ability. And, you know, one thing I'm so thankful, and I can't take credit for it. It's only God. I really cannot take credit. But I am so thankful that from the very beginning, Village of Hope was never an orphanage. A lot of people think we are. And I'm trying to correct that message. Village of Hope is not an orphanage. 90% of the children, and today we're reaching about 5,400 kids, 90% or more do not live at Village of Hope. Only less than 10% actually live in a children's home. And so we're not an orphanage. So even if the world goes completely against orphanages and we have to shut down all our children's homes, we're still valid and we're still needed and we can continue to exist because we had learned early on that you have a greater impact on communities if you leave the children with their grandmothers and with their aunts and uncles and or even with their widowed mothers and come alongside those caregivers and provide the education and healthcare and the things that they can't afford as a family to provide for their children, we come alongside and provide those for them. And that kids are still, you know, connected to their family, to their culture, and to their community. And I think that's been one of our greatest successes. And I thank God for guiding us in that, that we, over the 20 years, have always done both. We've had children's homes, but we've also met the needs of the kids that lived in the community. I want to show you a short video right now where you'll meet two boys, one who grew up in the children's home and one who grew up in the community, and you'll see that there's very little difference in the impact we've had on their lives. Can you play that now?
Hi. My name is Lupa. I am 14 years old. I am in grade 8.
My name is Twiza. I'm in grade 12.
My name is Lupa. I am 8 years old.
My name is Twiza. I am 14 years old. I am in grade 7.
I am happy to be in school.
To love computers. To play. And to have a family.
I've been at Village of Hope for 9 years. I'm very happy to be able to receive a good education. Now I know that my future will be bright, that I can be successful in life.
Look at how young I was. My name is Twiza, and I'm still living with my grandma and my grandpa, and still living in the same house. I'd like to take you home. Come on. This is my grandpa and this is my grandma. My grandpa want to say something to you.
I am very glad to see you visiting me this afternoon. So what I want to say about this, my grandson, is to continue going on with his education. God should guide him to continue his education until he finishes it, because he's fighting for a good living.
Thank you for visiting my home, and my grandparents was very excited. I'm in grade 12. I started in preschool as I was very, very young. But now I've grown up, I'll be able to graduate and take care of myself and my grandparents.
I hope you enjoyed seeing the video of me from 5 years ago. Now I am happy to tell you what I am doing today. Village of Hope has taken care of me since I was young, and now I know that I can follow my dream of being a journalist. Thank you for love and support.
So if you meet these two boys, you wouldn't know the difference. Oh, this one grew up in a children's home at Village of Hope, and this one didn't. The same level of care and love is provided to both those that live at the village and those that... In fact, our new locations, we're not building children's homes at our new locations. We're strategically locating our centers and communities like the one you saw. You know, where the children don't have access to education, health care, and proper nutrition. Our new village in Bulali in Tanzania is located in a community where there's only one government school. There's 2,400 children registered in this small primary school. There's probably about 100 and some odd kids in each class, right? So we strategically located ourselves there. We don't need to build homes and take kids away from their grandparents and aunts and uncles. We can leave them there and provide everything they need for a good future. There's three more stories here of children that grew up in Kitwe in the community and attended our school. Albina is one of them. I'll just read a quote from her. She said, "Village of Hope has helped me to be a better person. Also, my spiritual life changed because of the love and care that is shown to every child. Village of Hope treated all children equal with love and respect." And I love that, because that's a girl that lived in the community, yet she didn't feel inferior to the kids that were living in the children's home. She felt that the level of love and care that we provided in Kitwe was the same for her as it was for those that were living in the village. Rogers is another boy who lived with his grandmother. And graduated from our school, is now working. And he's working and he's saving up his own money. He's not coming to us and asking us for funds for college. He's working and saving his money for college. He wants to do this for himself. Margaret. Margaret's an interesting story. She came to the center a bit older than most kids. She came when she was 17. And yet we had a tremendous impact in those few years. You know, she was able to go to school till grade 9, and beyond grade 9, her family could no longer afford to provide education for her, so she came to Village of Hope for free education. And I love her testimony. She said, "I am now a very strong Christian because of the teachings I received from the chapel service. They have imparted in me very good morals. I'm able to stand on my own and be able to make well-informed decisions. I am able to share my testimony in church and in class to the children I'm teaching." She's now a teacher. "And I will always encourage them to remain focused in life no matter where they are coming from. Also in the community, when people look at me, they always see a living testimony on how a girl child can overcome obstacles in life." What a great testimony. Isn't that just wonderful? And you see these kids just growing up with the confidence and love love for God, love for themselves, and love for others. And so we do continue to provide children's homes for those who absolutely have nobody to care for them. And we're really working hard now with the local governments to ensure that the children that are placed in the children's homes really belong there, that they're not just being taken away from caring families for economic reasons. If we find that they have a caring family and the issue is economic, we're now trying to develop programs where we can actually come alongside and help them, even if they're a long distance from Village of Hope. In Malawi, we've started some extension programs where we're providing the resources to the families so that the kids can be educated and that they have health care, and we visit them once a month. So we're trying to reach out in new ways to ensure that vulnerable kids are loved and cared for. When you've been doing something like this for 20 years, you know, you get to the place where you've pretty well policied everything. You've best practiced everything. You've developed pretty well all the programs to their full extent. And, you know, you can only tweak and improve so much. And so my focus in the last, especially the last 3 years, but over 5 years, has been in our discipleship. Really want to ensure that our kids grow up not just with a good education and grow up physically healthy and socially able to interact with their communities, but really want them to understand and to know and to have a relationship with a God who loves them. So the foundation of the discipleship program that we've been developing over the years has been Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 5. Loving God with all your heart, soul, and strength. In fact, I wear a ring with the Hebrew letters that spell out Shema, just to remind me that I'm a Shema guy. And to be a Shema guy, you got to love. And always love, no matter what. And Leviticus 19 of loving others as you love yourself. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. I think the next slide we can, Jesus put the two together. If you want to read a great book on this, The Jesus Creed by Scott McKnight. He really sort of lays it out and talks about how Jesus' ministry was all based on these verses, these old, ancient verses of loving God, loving others, and loving yourself. It's a sacred love. It's a love that calls for us to allow it to mold and shape our lives. We should be molded and shaped by love. And our actions should be those of people that not only love, but people that have been loved. The creator of everything we see, including snow, takes time out of eternity to love you, to love me as individuals. Not just love us, but he knows us. And he knows not just the good of us. He knows the darkness of us. That spot deep down that we all have. We don't always show it, but we all have that. God knows that, and yet he still loves us. And he calls to us to return that love and to spread that love. You know, it's been interesting, you know, like as you go through the various stages of an organization and ministry, and, you know, For the past 8 years, we've been doing a lot of work in strategic planning. And with strategic planning, all your goals, you know, are going to be measurable. And, you know, how do you measure success of a discipleship program? We were able to sit down with education and kind of come up with sort of key points and say, okay, well, if these things happen and we can measure these, and if the kids, you know, pass these exams, that they, you know, even nutrition and healthcare, you know, you weigh them, you measure them, and you could tell, you know, you could set out a path. But it was it's been a real puzzle to me, a real mystery as to what do you put in, you know, as the measuring stick for a discipleship program. Because most of the outcomes are God's work. It's not our work. It's the Spirit's work. It's God, right? And, okay, so you can measure baptisms, but what does that mean? Okay, we just know that a bunch of kids went underwater and came up. I mean, there has to be something more to it than that, right? I came across this verse in John 13, verses 34-35. It was kind of an aha moment for me. And here Jesus was in his final days with his disciples. He knew he was going to be going to the cross very soon. And he needed to sort of impart upon them, you know, his final words. And he talked to them, he took that moment to talk to them about love. And he calls it a new commandment, and I find that kind of strange because it was an old commandment to love God and to love others as you love yourself. But he said to them, you've got to do it as I have done it, as I have shown you, as I have modeled for you. And then he said this, he said, by this they will know that you are my disciples, that you have love for one another. If your discipleship programs do not produce a community of people who do not have love for one another, there's something wrong with the program. And those outside the church looking in should see communities that are based on love. Communities that show love for one another, the way Jesus showed love for his disciples, being patient with them, caring. I mean, you know, it just astounds me when you read these stories of Jesus, how patient he was with them. Took them a long time to get it. You know, it took them a long time. And yet he just was patient with them and just kept pointing them to the Father, kept talking about the Father. And recently, I came across this story of Georgina. Georgina was one of the girls that came into Kitwe when we were the directors there. Came from a very difficult, troubled past. Extremely insecure. Reserved. Closed in. But over the years, you know, you saw God working in Georgina's life. Softening her heart. You saw love starting to do its thing. You know, like love can. And Georgina graduated, went to college, and got a diploma in administration. And today she's working as the administrator for our village in Mongu, which is in western Zambia. I love seeing Village Hope kids coming up and giving their lives to the very ministry that rescued them and raised them. And last October, when I was in Mongu, the director said to me, he said, oh, Georgina wants you to come by and visit her at her house. I said, oh, Georgina has a house. He said, yeah. So we drove through this little sandy path and landed in this little plot. And there was this little reed house that you can just see the corner there. It's just made of sort of bamboo reeds. It's got a tin roof on it. And she tells me this story. She said, you know, when I moved from Kitwe to Mongu, I was renting an apartment in Mongu. But she said, I had family. I had these three nieces that needed help. So she saved her money up so that she could buy this little piece of land from this lady she knew. And she said, by buying this piece of land and putting up this little house, she said, the money I save on rent, I look after the girls. So she brought these three girls from Kitwe to Mongu who live with her in this little reed house. Not only that, she helped another niece with her school fee so that she could graduate grade 12. So we see in Georgina's life just love just oozing out of her. And she said, you know, one day, you know, I'll keep saving money. She said, one day I'll put up brick walls around my house, you know. But, you know, I went inside and she's got it nicely set up. She's even got a couple of light bulbs hanging there for when electricity comes. Right now, she says, I live without electricity. So she has little solar-powered lights that she uses in the evening. But she said, I made sure I bought the land in a safe community because the girls were going to have to be by themselves during the day when she went to work. Like, I'm just sitting there, like, just completely blown away. No one told her she had to do this, right? No one explained to her that, you know, This is what we expect of you from all the care we've given you over the years and all that God's done for you. That, you know, no one told her these things. It's just, you just see love just oozing out of her. You know, and these young girls being raised by Georgina, to me, just gives me so much hope for their future, for their lives. She'll teach them about hard work. She'll teach them about God, about loving God, and about loving others as we love ourselves. And I think, you know, in Georgina's life, and I see it in so many of the other lives of the kids that we work with, we underestimate this part of the scripture where it talks about love your neighbor as you love yourself. You see, God calls us to love three individuals. He calls us to love him. He calls us to love our neighbor. He calls us to love ourselves. And when you experience some of the things, like even Georgina, some of the things that she experienced as a very young child caused her to not love herself. And it wasn't until we got rid of that and she started to love herself and to see herself as God the Father sees her that she was able then to go out and to love others as she loves herself. So I'm excited about the future. In fact, at the meeting I was having with the leadership in Mongu, Georgina put her hand up. She said, Uncle Serge, I have a question for you. I said, yeah. She says, you've been doing this for 20 years. She says, I've known you from the beginning. I said, yeah, we've been together a long time. She says, but I hear something different in your voice today than I heard even back then. I said, what is it? She says, you sound more excited, more enthusiastic about the future. She said, we're all waiting to hear the news that you're finished. I said, sorry. But it was really, you could tell, she was really trying to process this thing. Like, why are you, most people your age, I just turned 60, most people your age are thinking about retirement and slowing down. And she said, but I don't hear that in your voice. Especially when you start talking about discipleship and preschool kids. She says, like, I watch preschool kids. I mean, I'm up there going crazy, you know, sweating in the heat. And, you know, she says, what's driving you? I said, two things. Number one, love. I haven't run out of love yet. I hope never to. But I'm not tired of loving. And I said, number two, I need to fix all my mistakes before I pass it on to someone else. You know, I want to make sure that when the time comes to pass the baton on to somebody younger, that I'm passing something healthy on to them. And Village Hope is healthy, but there's a few things that we didn't do quite right. And I've been focusing. Discipleship is one of them. So the last 5 years, we've really turned the tide in the area of discipleship and finding new and creative ways of bringing love into lives of children that have not experienced love and whose lives are full of darkness. And the other main thing is I've felt that we've missed the golden opportunity over the years to really reach the community around the villages. So we're now, in this year, we're going to be launching some pilot programs of reaching out to the caregivers, to the grandparents, to the aunts and uncles, right? And really bringing the message of Christ to them and ensuring that the homes of the kids that are coming to the center and then going back home are homes that have the same message, the same morals, the same values that the village has, so that there isn't any confusion. I said, I really want to fix that before my time is up. Right? So if you're wondering what that question, Uncle Serge, how much time do you got left in you? I said, Pastor Rob, yesterday I said, I got 30 good years left in me. I said, I don't really see, I don't have the 5-year ticking clock, As long as I can physically do the work and manage the travel, I'll keep going and keep raising up young leaders, preparing. We got some great young leaders coming up at all our locations. The future for Village of Hope right now, as I see it, is great and solid. So, but it's only done with churches like Terrace who walk with us on this journey all these years. Longevity of, we could only be doing this for 20 years if people are supporting us for 20 years, right? If people support us just for 1 year, well, that's the life of the ministry, right? So, I'll have some profiles with me of children that do not have sponsors. So if you're interested in sponsoring a child or you know somebody who would like to sponsor a child, please come see me during the luncheon and I can help you do that. But thank you, and God bless you.